Media app.
CBS News Brief. A TikTok ban is set to take effect Sunday after a Supreme Court decision today. But CBS's Lindsay Reiser says President-elect Donald Trump posted on social media it may not be a done deal.
The Supreme Court decision was expected, and everyone must respect it. My decision on TikTok will be made in the not-too-distant future, but I must have time to review the situation. Stay tuned.
Israel's cabinet is meeting right now to vote on the ceasefire and hostage release deal with Hamas. CBS's Remy Innocencio is in Tel Aviv.
The cabinet has been talking with the Israeli negotiating team for what we understand to be the past several hours. And going into it, the expectation is that the cabinet would approve it.
Ohio Governor Mike DeWine has tapped his Lieutenant Governor John Husted to fill Vice President-elect J.D. Vance's Senate seat.
I really look forward to working with President Trump and Vice President Vance and the Republican majority, who have an America First agenda to fight inflation, stop illegal immigration, and advance conservative values, and that's what I'll do.
CBS News.
Community Stories is taking a holiday break for the month of January. I'm your host, Melissa Kay, and the show will be back in February with more stories from your community. For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. A Wisconsin child has died of the flu. Here's Savannah Tome Olson.
Health officials say they live in the northern part of the state. Officials from the Wisconsin Department of Health Services say the flu has been deadly here every year over the last two decades. Respiratory disease epidemiologist Tom Haupt.
Children under five are at higher risk for complications from influenza and RSV, for that matter, and COVID. Just because of their age, but also pediatric hospitalizations, if they have any kind of underlying illnesses, whether it's diabetes, asthma, anything that would lower their immune system does increase their possibility of having complications from these particular viruses.
On average, 1 to 6 Wisconsin kids succumb to the illness each year. Depending on the strain, 5 to 20% of people can get the flu each year, according to the American Lung Association. And now there's another complication, one that has grown since the start of the pandemic, vaccine hesitancy. Fewer and fewer people are getting their flu shot each year.
We're running at 31% statewide right now, which is disappointing. It's a little bit lower than last year, but it continues that decline. It's frustrating because we want to get this message out to people as to the complications and what can happen if the person who is at high risk does come down with complications. Unfortunately, we have this pediatric death.
Haupt says we're approaching the peak of illness season between flu, COVID-19, and respiratory syncytial virus, or RSV. When it comes to the COVID-19 vaccine, only 16% of eligible Wisconsinites have an updated shot. Meanwhile, 22% of people above 60 have their RSV vaccine. To find a vaccine near you, you can call your doctor's office, your local pharmacy, or your local health department.
I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
Is Jordan Love the one? Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NFL Packers GM Brian Gutekunst held his end-of-season press conference and was asked after 2 years, does he think that quarterback Jordan Love will someday lead the team to a Super Bowl?
I've talked many times about how even-keeled he is, and I think, you know, his growth, I mean, the way he manages our football team has been pretty impressive.
The Packers have fired defensive line coach Jason Rebovich, the D-line criticized for a lack of quarterback sacks. Baseball tributes to Bob Uecker, who died after a two-year battle with lung cancer. Uecker loved talking to players in the clubhouse. I asked Christian Yelich if he could trust Uke to keep those chats private.
Well, I think he was always on the player's side. You know, I think he always had our back no matter what. And he was always pretty passionate about that. I think he would tell you that on a daily basis, whether you're going through a hard time or not, or whatever was going on the field. And, you know, you got the true version of Bob where he could let his guard down.
That's the Brewers' Christian Yelich with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
A warm winter day with highs climbing to near 40 degrees. All ahead of a cold front moving through this afternoon, dropping us sharply colder. Winds are gusting up to 30 miles per hour, and they won't quit. As temperatures tonight fall to 5 degrees, highs tomorrow only reach 11. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Currently, it's 39.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Here's what the WSJ had said after J6. This week has probably finished Donald Trump as a serious political figure. Boy, that hasn't aged well, has
no,
it?
No, not at all.
The Wall Street Journal. So after what they just said 4 years ago, Maggie, they couldn't bring it upon themselves to say that guy who did that shouldn't be anywhere near the White House again. Nope, couldn't do it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Hi, I'm Anthony Anderson. For the past 80 years, the United Negro College Fund has helped more than 500,000 students graduate from college and become leaders of our nation. Since its beginning in 1944, UNCF has made one truth known: a mind is a terrible thing to waste. Support UNCF as they continue supporting the dreams and hopes of 50,000 deserving students each year. Please visit uncf.org today. Happy 80th, UNCF.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Civic Media Sports Authority Mike Clemens, visit Kenosha Marketing Director Meredith Jamesco, and Bar Band Friday Nights resume with Max Inc. radio host Terry Barr.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8. Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Friday, January 17th, 2025. Have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. In part two at 4:30, we're going to talk with our friends from the Port Edwards Lions Club about their fishery coming up on the 25th. Looking forward to talking to Jim and Dave in just a little bit. Right now, we have joining us on the phone line, Wisconsin State Senator Patrick Teston joining us. Always good to talk with you, sir. How have you been?
I'm doing great, James. It's been a busy first couple weeks here in the new session, and we're off to a fast start and looking forward to getting a lot of work done over the course of these next 2 years.
Entering your third term as a state senator, congratulations on that. How was inauguration?
It was great. It's always an exciting day, and as I often tell people, I got the chills when I walked in on inauguration day to the Capitol, and I think that's a good sign because the day that comes, that doesn't occur, that's going to be the high sign from up above that it's time to move on and let someone else take the reins. But it's a really great occasion because it's one of these moments where, you know, no one's butting heads. Everyone's excited to start a new session with so many new representatives in both the state assembly and as well as the state Senate. There's a lot of new members. And, you know, with that comes new ideas, new perspectives. And so I've already had the opportunity. I was down in Milwaukee last week and had the chance to sit down and grab dinner with one of my new Democratic colleagues in the state Senate, Senator Dora Drake, who is, she's one of the younger members. She's roughly my age. And we had a really great conversation over dinner about just some of the challenges that her district is facing. And I shared some of the challenges that we're facing. And I'm really hopeful that by having dialogues like that, we can bridge the political divide and come together and really focus on solutions for our prospective districts.
Senator, a question that I ask a lot of my students and a lot of friends in different industries, and one I was curious about for you. You've been doing this for a while now. What have you learned going into your third Senate run?
It's one of the biggest things that I've learned, and is that, you know, we all have, I think all of our hearts are in the right place. Everyone's there to serve. And, you know, regardless of your political ideology, whether you're Republican, Democrat, or liberal, very conservative, somewhere in the middle, I think by and large, everyone that's there is there for the exact same reasons, that they want to make sure that our country, our state, and our communities are great places to live, work, and raise a family. It's just sometimes we have different approaches of how we get there. And so, you know, my hope is, as it's been in previous sessions, is that I anticipate the vast majority of the bills that get signed into law over the course of these next 2 years are going to be bipartisan. And I think the biggest takeaway is that, you know, when we do have heated and contentious moments on the floor where we're very far apart on that, you know, regardless of how things shake out, that we can move past that and realize that even though we may be on opposing ends one day, that there may be issues down the road where we find ourselves in agreement. And I think the more that we can take the politics of personality and not take things personal, I think that in the long run is going to result in better public policy come and forth within both bodies of the legislature.
What would you say, because certainly you're going to have the things that you, your passions, and there are certainly going to be things that come up in the year that we didn't see coming or maybe planned for, but what would you say are your key focuses going into this year and going into your term?
I think a couple of the key areas that I'm really going to focus on, so as the co-vice chair of the Joint Finance Committee, I'll be in the room alongside the my fellow co-vice chair and represent Tony Kurtz, along with the co-chairs of the Finance Committee, Mark Boren and Senator Howard Markwein, throughout this budget. We are going to be the ones in the room really negotiating, along with leadership in both houses, including the Speaker as well as the Senate Majority Leader. And I think, by and large, many of us are in agreement that we want to continue to push and pursue significant tax relief. You know, people I talk to all across the district are still dealing with high prices, and dollars don't stretch as far as they did 4, 5, 6 years ago. And so providing an increase or a tax cut is going to be a priority. And then my role as the Senate Vice Chair of the Senate Committee on Health is going to continue to focus on areas on how we can reduce costs in health care, increase access in underserved areas. And for me, that in large part goes hand in hand with really empowering our healthcare providers to operate at the highest level of the scope of practice. You take a look at what we did last session that finally got signed into law, the Rural Dentistry Scholarship Program through the Marquette School of Dentistry. That's going to help students in the dentistry program to go practice in underserved and rural areas. Well, I think we can apply that same approach to other areas in healthcare. And so we're already sitting down with stakeholders on issues like that to examine ideas to provide better care. And then lastly, it continues to be workforce, making sure that we're doing what we can to, whether it's things like the Fast Forward Grant Program, continue to fund that, which school districts have until roughly mid-February to apply, where they can get anywhere to $5,000 to $100,000 grants to help with vocational training, programming, equipment to really help train up our future workforce here in the state and ensure that our employers are building a pipeline for next generation that we need.
One of the unique things I think about that, too, is the incentives for these individuals when they finish their education to stay in state and continue working here.
Well, exactly. And that is the key. And so, you know, what's really encouraging is that the UW System of Colleges, they retain the vast majority of their graduates. However, there's still about 15 to 20% that come from the state of Wisconsin or come outside the state, and they get a great education, and then they leave. So anything that we can do to try and capture that, even though it may not seem like a big number, but when you take a look at our employers, not just here in central Wisconsin, but around the state, this has been an ongoing problem for nearly a decade. And some of it's demographics. Others is just we need to encourage more participation in the workforce, because when you have jobs that just even, you know, 7, 8 years ago that were paying minimum wage are now paying upwards of $15, $16, $17 to even $20 an hour, it shows you that there is a real struggle out there for employers to find good qualified workers. And oftentimes, as I often tell high school students and middle school students, it is a goldmine of opportunity out there for you. If you even do the bare minimum, like show up on time, be able to look and have a conversation with someone in their eyes and not be glued to your phone, you're already leaps and bounds ahead of some of your peers. And just to really encourage that. And so, you know, there's work to be done, but as always, I am ever optimistic that we can tackle these challenges and walk and chew gum at the same time and hopefully keep moving our state in the right direction.
We certainly, and I don't think that there's, I mean no crass by this, but we certainly have some unpredictability whenever we have a changing of the guard, if you will, when you have a new president coming in. And we have all heard the conversations about deportation and some of the immigration talk. And we've also heard from a lot of our ag industry about how that could affect our ag industry and our workers here, our farmers and some of that. When we talk about, you know, creating more jobs or creating more education in jobs, is this something that's being talked about with you and your colleagues? Is this something you guys are thinking of and wanting to maybe, I don't want to say get ahead of, because again, you can't, you know, we don't know what's going to happen yet. But is this a conversation you're having behind the scenes in that?
There are some conversations being had. You know, this session, I have the privilege to serve as the Agricultural and Revenue Committee Chair in the State Senate. And so making sure that our ag economy remains vibrant is going to be, again, one of my top priorities this session. And so we've had some really good conversations with folks from organizations like the Farm Bureau, the Wisconsin Potato and Vegetable Growers Association. And, you know, there is some concern of what could or may happen. But, you know, I think by and large, at least from what I've seen and what I've heard, is that, you know, the emphasis is going to be making sure that those who are here illegally and have committed criminal acts are probably going to get deported. But I think more importantly is from what we've been hearing is that there's going to be a push to make sure that we have a pathway for legal citizenship. That I don't think it's any secret that at the federal level, our immigration process, it's broken. And my hope is that Congress can work with the President Trump's administration to address some of these issues, but do it in a manner that's not going to disrupt some of our dairy farmers, because, you know, dairy farmers don't have the luxury of only being able to go out and milk for a few months a year while the rest, you know, we're dealing with snow and cold. They have to go out there and milk their cows 365, 24 hours a day.
Well, it's a great point, and this that's the kind of point that we need made for them, and that's the job, right? Representing those being the voice for those industries in your state, and to that point, sir, I want to get into the Senate passing the voter ID resolution with you, and just to catch everybody up that have not known too much about this, or if maybe haven't heard the details or just read headlines, Assembly Republicans voted Tuesday to advance a proposal that would enshrine Wisconsin's existing voter identification law into the state constitution. And the resolution is to set up the statewide referendum was approved in both houses of the legislature along party lines. Now, this is something that by now, with the 24-hour news cycle and everything, most of the, you know, talking points have been made by both sides of the party, including yourself. Now, I will give you time to talk about this particular part of it if you would like. But what I would like to do is go to where I wanted to prep for this interview. And I would say going back to last Friday or Saturday, but even before this resolution was passed, I was asking my friends, my family members, just different listeners I could talk to, getting a blind survey, if you will, or a poor man survey, if you will, of what, how important this was to them. And while I didn't hear this as a top priority, what I did hear was why is this the question of why this is such a top priority? Why is this the first thing getting done in the new year when you could make the argument? And I don't think it's a hard one to make that we've got a lot bigger issues in accessing healthcare workforce, childcare. We got to keep going. There's so many things that it feels like the focus and you and your colleagues should be on this when it seems like it's this. Why is it the focus? Why is it your first focus, or not yours in particular, but the you know, Congress and everything?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. I'm glad you asked. So on Wednesday, so our third day on the job for this new session, you know, the Senate came in and we passed Senate Joint Resolution 2, which was a constitutional amendment. So here in the state of Wisconsin, we have a process by which constitutional amendments get proposed and then approved. So a resolution has to pass two consecutive legislatures by both houses, the state Senate as well as the state assembly. So last session, it was up for first consideration to enshrine voter ID into our state constitution. And the reason why this was brought up is because we face right now, regardless of where people stand, a court that is acting like a super legislature. They are legislating from the bench. We suspect that it's only a matter of time, if we had not done this, that there would be a lawsuit that would challenge the constitutionality of our voter ID law, which has been on the books since 2011. And while I agree there are lots of other issues that need to be addressed, and I assure you, James, they are going to be addressed, but this was the only thing that we had ready to go in the hopper for Wednesday, because it had already passed a previous legislature through both houses. It just had to be simply introduced again. Thankfully, our Judiciary Committee, they met on Tuesday to take public testimony and then execute out of committee so it was ready for the floor. And so this is now going to be on everyone's ballot for the April election, where you are going to have local elections as well as for Department of Public Instruction and as well as Supreme Court. And so if this gets enshrined and approved, voter ID, which again has been on state books since 2011, will be enshrined in our state constitution, which is an issue that I think overwhelmingly many people support. And just making sure that when you go to the polls, that you identify who you are and that's verified. No different than when, you know, with so many other things that we do in life where you have to prove identification of who you are, whether it's going to a restaurant to have a old fashioned with your fish fry on a Friday or buying a six pack of Oso beer to you name it. Buying medications over the counter, even spray paint, you got to show voter or show an ID. So I think this is pretty common practice. And in fact, you know, it was referenced on the floor that, you know, in previous elections in the lead up to the November election, that even individuals like Governor Evers had posted on social media sites such as X that voting is very easy. Go get your free ID from the DMV. And so I'm in agreement with that. And so I was happy to support that. And if people have questions, I'm more than happy to answer them. But just be aware, this will be on your ballot on the April election.
And I think you noted something that's important. While, again, in the 24-hour news cycle, it feels like these topics just come up. This has been going on since 2011. This has been something that has been in the conversation for quite some time now. And I do think that you can look at this in a number of different angles, no matter where you're coming from this on, and see some positives to this for both sides, for both parties, for what's most important, people. I'm not talking about parties. I'm just talking about people. And you need an ID in life. You do. And this could help some people actually doing that and getting that. And we also certainly all want fair elections. There's nobody who's fighting differently on that. Even as a Chicagoan, I will say that I want fair elections. I'm going to go out of, but I do want, there is another part of this too. And I'm curious how you answer when your constituents or when people ask you some of the things that I started off with or what the need of this is, that we haven't really had a ton of issues with this in Wisconsin when it comes to voter fraud or some of these things. How do you answer that? How do you answer the idea that there are people that worry that this law can make it harder for some people to vote? And I'm not talking about making it harder for illegal people to vote. That is obviously is wrong. I hope I took care of that already. But people that it's hard for them to vote that are already American citizens. How do you respond to that?
Yeah. So, I mean, my response to that is you just have to take a look at the voting trends here in the state. So just a few months ago, we had one of the highest voter turnouts in state history. In fact, in even places like the city of Milwaukee, 85% of the registered voters showed up to vote. And, you know, that was one of the arguments that we heard from some of my colleagues who represent the city of Milwaukee that this is going to suppress the minority vote, which clearly that's not the case because 85% of the city of Milwaukee, they showed up to the polls. And when you take a look too, and we heard this, that this might even impact rural areas where people don't have the ability. There are townships, James, here in central Wisconsin, places like the town of Rome, where over 95% of registered voters had voted early in the November election. And to put this in perspective, to vote early absentee, if you do it by mail, not only do you have to have a photo ID, you have to submit and send in a copy, a printed copy of your ID to cast your ballot. So, you know, we have set up a process. Now, granted, I wasn't in the legislature when voter ID was initially enacted, but they set up a pathway at that time for people. They need to get a government-issued ID. It's very simple. It's very straightforward. It is free to you. Go to the DMV and sign up, get your vote ID. So it's not that difficult. And, you know, I would also argue that there is some sense of responsibility. We all know, or at least we all should know, because I hear from everyone during the height of campaign season that everyone is sick and tired of the phone calls, the texts, the commercials, the radio ads, the mailers, the social media posts. Everyone gets bombarded. We know when elections are coming. So if people are really serious about voting, it is not that difficult. to take some semblance of responsibility, to go through the process to make sure that you have the right documentation, a voter ID. And then from there, voting is a breeze. We have same-day voter registration. It is very easy to do. And again, it has been highlighted by folks on both sides of the aisle in the lead up to any major election that voting, it's an easy way to lay out the process, lay out information, provide resources to people. And so for me, from my standpoint, you know, this law has been on the books for nearly 15 years now. I don't know of too many people who have ever had an issue. In fact, it's been well documented now that statewide, the number of people who have run into not being able to cast their ballot, it is a statistical anomaly as far as how few it has occurred.
Well, and I think that on another silver lining of this, too, one way or the other, this could also help us see maybe some issues for voters that we didn't even know, or maybe how we can help people be able to vote more, make it more accessible. I think there's a lot of other things that can come from this, too. So there's plenty to talk about here, and I'm sure we will continue to talk about it in future conversations. But the last minute or so we have left, sir, I wanted to ask, you have any On the Job series events coming up?
Well, I was actually supposed to have one on Monday. I was going to be working with Ellis Construction based here in Stevens Point, and we were going to be on the job site over in the mall. However, and I didn't lose a lot because of how cold it was on Ellis. We had to reschedule, so they didn't allow their workers to go out on the site that day. So we're actually trying to move up our the job series. It's going to be held at the Strike Zone, a bowling alley in Toma. So we're trying to see if we can be moving up to 4 out of January and maybe knock some in.
Okay. You're breaking up quite a bit on us here, sir. Sorry about that, but we are wrapping up anyway. So real quick, looking forward to hearing about the On the Job series. Going to a bowling alley sounds like a lot of fun. I hope you're able to move that up a little bit. If people have follow-up questions, want to reach you, how can they reach you?
If they don't want to get a hold of me, reach out to my office. Our number is 608-266-3123. Drop us an email at sen.legis.wi.gov. Follow us on social media. And as always, if you see me out and about, feel free to stop me, pull me aside. And like I tell everyone, if you need to meet with me, I'm like an old school doctor. I make house calls.
We caught a break there. That was completely clear. All of that was heard. That was great. That was awesome. Always good talking with you, sir. Have a great weekend. Safe travels out there. We'll talk again next month.
I appreciate James.
Senator, Wisconsin State Senator Petra Testin joining us. Appreciate the time from him. As always, we got a great conversation coming up for you right here on Midday Magazine at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. We are locally grown radio.
Hello there, this is James,
Melissa,
Chad,
and Seth, inviting you to come work with us. Civic Media is looking for a full-time sales professional to work with existing and new broadcast and digital media clients.
We're a fast-growing company that offers competitive wages, benefits, a relaxed working environment that focuses on quality of life, and includes a team of support to reach our shared goals.
Join us in continuing what we have done for 80 years. Be a part of the community, put into the community, celebrate community.
Find out more by contacting Chuck Janelle at 715-935-8030 or email chuck.janeiro@civicmedia.us. All inquiries are confidential. Civic Media Incorporated is an equal opportunity employer, and we look forward to you joining us.
Thank you for listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Now join us anytime by finding and following our Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram pages. We want to hear from you there, too. You'll also find social media links for your favorite shows and hosts on our website. Go to civicmedia.us.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Better begins with the way we live life together, the way we help each other, and the way we inspire and encourage one another. At Aspirus Health, better begins with our dedication to providing expert care that improves lives, establishing healthy families and healthy communities, yours and ours, for a lifetime. Life is a journey, and we're here for you. Better begins at Aspirus Health. Passion for excellence, compassion for people.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kaye. Health officials in the state's biggest city are dealing with what they call an unusual situation. Stuart J. Waddles has more.
Milwaukee health officials have identified lead paint in a basement bathroom at a school as the likely source of a student's lead poisoning. The Milwaukee Health Department and Milwaukee Public Schools made the announcement in a joint statement yesterday. It follows an investigation that started in November. While details about the student's condition remain unknown, officials say they're working closely with the family and school administrators to address the situation.
As bird flu begins to pop up across Wisconsin, the U.S. Department of Agriculture has announced it will begin rebuilding its bird flu vaccine for poultry to match the current strain. The Wisconsin Department of Health Services confirmed the first positive test in a poultry flock in Barron County in December, soon after confirming the first positive human case stemming from that infected flock, as well as another positive poultry test in Burnett County. State officials say they've been forced to depopulate over 73,000 birds in three commercial flocks so far. Wisconsin's new reading program under Act 20 could be on its way toward being an unfunded mandate by the state legislature. Joanne Krulatz has the story.
$50 million is held up in the Joint Finance Committee over a disagreement between Republicans in the legislature and Governor Tony Evers on how the money should be spent. The already approved funding was tabbed for materials and training for school staff to implement phonics-based literacy for elementary school students. If the money isn't released by June 30th, the funds go into the state surplus.
Property taxes will be due at the end of January, and officials are starting to send out reminders. If you're paying in installments, the first payment is due January 31st. Check with your local county treasurer's office for more information on making your property tax payments. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Malcolm in the Middle is putting the band back together. The crazy popular show that premiered in 2000 is ready for a reboot. Bryan Cranston and Jane Kaczmarek will return, as well as series creator and head writer Linwood Boomer. Frankie Muniz also returns as Malcolm, who is now almost 40. During the show's 151-episode run, it pulled 33 Emmy nominations. Disney announced they will make 4 episodes to start. And oh my gosh, it's been a few weeks since Taylor Swift has made news. She is being a supportive girlfriend. Travis Kelce has decided to continue his NFL career despite falling stat lines, and Taylor Swift says she fully supports his decision. That's the story. It's not much, folks, but a little Taylor Swift news is less depressing than other news happening around the world. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy tonight, a few flurries, a low of 5 to 10, wind chills to 10 below, and windy. For tomorrow, partly to mostly sunny, highs in the low teens, but wind chills near 10 below. Even colder Sunday, high only 3 below, wind chills 20 to 30 below.
It's 39 right now.
Hey folks, this is Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. We have all stopped at a convenience store for a necessity or two. A bottle of water, a half a gallon of milk, or a bag of pickle-flavored potato chips. I mean, those are necessities in your house too, right? But there is a cost for that kind of convenience, as much as 54% more. Now, when I was in my early 20s, like some of you, I may have done most of my shopping at the 7-Eleven around the corner from my apartment. And boy, oh boy, I wish I had known that shopping regularly at convenience stores instead of supermarkets meant I was paying a lot more for my groceries. A National Institute of Health survey recently found that milk can cost 11 to 14% more at those stores, apples and bananas 10 to 53% more, and cereal could cost as much as 54% more. So, for your regular food shopping, keep more money in your wallet and head on over to the supermarket. For more tips on saving, text MONEY to 88285. This is Carrie Joy saying take good care.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Monday morning, the return of Dr. Kristen Lierley from some faraway island. And a president gets inaugurated too, I guess.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Friday, January 17th, 2025. Have your host, James, here with you, and welcoming in the studio our good friends, Jim and Dave, we have from the Port Edwards Lions Club. We are here to talk about their fishery coming up on January 25th. Gentlemen, I'd like you to introduce yourselves, and then we'll get into the quick Q&A here. Go ahead and introduce yourselves down the line here.
I'm Jim Kempen from the Port Edwards Lions Club.
Jim, good to see you again. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
I'm Dave Thiel.
Dave, thanks for being here. Good to meet you, sir. I appreciate the time. Great vest, by the way. You look good, sir. That's a great vest. We'll talk more about that maybe, but I want to get into the event, the details of it, how people can attend. But before we do, myself, the audience, we love to talk the origin and the history of events, and especially one like this that has been so celebrated and our area loves this event so much. What can we tell people about the history of the Port Edwards Lions Club Fishery?
Well, our club got chartered in 1965.
Wow, 65. So okay, I didn't realize that.
This year it'll be 60 years. So.
Oh, congratulations. That's
and,
awesome.
And shortly after that, we started holding a fishery. And it began out at Ross Lake, south of Nakusa, where the campground is there now. And a lot of people came, and then that Ross Lake kind of dried up, so... Yeah. You would drill a hole and get mud. That's all you'd get. So we switched to Nemco Lake, and we've been doing that ever since then. And the people have really been supportive of it.
Yeah, yeah. The area loves this event. And, you know, to be fair, fishing is just a hugely popular thing in central Wisconsin. It's really in Wisconsin in general, but especially here in central Wisconsin. It was one of the first things I learned when I moved here was picking up a fishing pole and getting out there on the deck and casting a line, and the enjoyment and the love of that you can have. One of the things I love about fishing, and I think that stands out a little bit more about it than other sports or other hobbies, if you will, you can go out there and have a great time. Even if you don't catch anything. I don't think there's a lot of things like that in life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, usually, even with hunting, I don't hunt, but I know most of my friends and family do. And they'll tell you that if they go out there all morning, they don't catch anything. Just not a great day for them. But you can go out on the lake or you can go out on the ice and fish and have a great time, even if you do or don't catch anything.
That's right.
It's one of the, I think, the best parts of this. And I think any fisherman will tell you, an angler will tell you, that's a big part of fishing. And a big part of this event is the camaraderie, the ability to come together, maybe see some people you haven't seen in a while, have some conversations with people, make new friends. Who knows? That is one of the beauties of fishing. Is that one of the purposes of the event to you all? Maybe even not just to the Lions Club, but just individually as people. One of the things you guys look forward to is running into people, the conversations that you have.
Sure, we have a good time in the shelter house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I believe it. Yeah, Jim, do you have some?
Yeah, and a lot of people, they come, they don't even fish.
Yeah.
They come there, they have food, we have burgers and chili dump and... Mm-hmm. And stuff, and to meet their friends.
Yeah.
They'll buy raffle tickets because the merchants in town here really support us. We have a lot of prizes for the people to buy raffle tickets, and they'll sit there for a couple, 3 hours and just talk with each other and have a good time. That's what it's all about. A lot of families come out, which is good.
Yeah, and piggybacking off of that, a couple of the listeners that I talked to that were looking forward to the event were talking about, one individual was talking about bringing his son down, and it'll be his first, and getting a chance to, you know, get out there and check out what ice fishing is like and everything, because they haven't experienced ice fishing before. That is pretty cool to see that for the first time and see somebody experiencing that for the first time.
Yes.
But that was a big part of what they talked about, too, was and one of the things that I noticed, too, and we're seeing a lot more and more of this, especially coming out of the holidays, what people are looking for out of a gift or out of their experiences is an experience. They really want to experience something. They want to go out there and they want to just have a time. Again, whether they catch a fish or not, they want to go out there and talk to people, interact with others, having something to look forward to in the winter months. You know, as much as we're all Midwesterners and we know what the winter's like, we still be reminded of it on weekends like this one coming up and everything, of how important it is to have this stuff to look forward to. And how fun these events can be. When it comes to your involvement in the Lions Club or in the fishery, you can give me either answer or both if you'd like. I'm curious of how you guys got involved with this. And Jim, I'll start with you. How did you get involved with the Lions Club? How did you get involved with the fishery?
Well, I've been a member of the Lions Club since 1985.
Okay.
At that time, it was someone had to sponsor you
to join
it. So a good friend of mine sponsored me It's been a great experience. We do a lot of good things, and we have fun doing it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We'll talk more about that before we wrap up and everything, but I do think that's noteworthy. You know, not only having fun, but the feeling that you get putting into your community. There's no way to put it into words. There's no way you could really word something like that other than it feels good. It feels good for the soul. It feels good overall. For you, Dave, how did you get involved?
Well, I moved into town in 74, and a Lions Club member came to my door to sell calendars.
Oh. Okay. Hey, however it happens, you know, that's great.
And I told him I wanted to get involved in the community, and he sponsored me.
Very cool. Very cool. How have you since then pretty much been involved with the fishery as well?
Oh, yes, I've been drilling. I was drilling holes forever.
Yeah.
I drilled holes down at Ross Lake,
mm-hmm.
where we had a long shaft drill. We had it lift up here, and it was difficult.
Yeah,
We didn't need that for the ice we had there, so we shortened it up.
Sure.
But I've been drilling holes until the last couple of years. I can't anymore.
Hmm.
But I've drilled holes for a number of people. It was their first time.
Oh, fishing. That's got to be a great feeling. Yeah. And you know, just hearing it in your voice, sir, how much you love this and how much you've enjoyed it over the years. I appreciate that you sharing that with us for a number of reasons. One, it's just great to hear. And I think it's relatable for a lot of us that attend the fishery and enjoy it ourselves. But we're always looking to get new people involved with this. And nobody listening that hasn't done this, that heard you, is not going to show up on next Saturday for this. You sold this event very well just now. And I appreciate that. Appreciate the walk down memory lane with you. Thank you for that. What has it meant to you to be a Lions Club member, if you don't mind me asking, Dave?
Oh, I think it makes me feel good. We do a lot of good things for the community.
Yeah, yeah. Jim, same question. What is it? You touched on this a little bit, but just to give you the actual chance to really answer this, what it means for you to be a part of the Lions Club?
Well, the camaraderie is great. We got a good club. In fact, in the last couple of years, we got 8 new members, young people, which we needed in the club. And they really brought up a lot of new ideas and everything. And all the events we have, the support we have from the local people is just phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. Whether it is our Lions Club, our Elks Lodge, whatever they might be, these organizations, they've got such a wonderful history to them. And the history is just littered with great events and great putting into their communities. And it's such a great opportunity to be able to do that. I hear from people all the time, more and more, they want to do good. They want to put into their community. They want to make a mark. They want to leave a legacy. They want to make sure that they were noted, that they did some good in their community. I cannot stress enough that this is a great opportunity, that to being a part of any of these organizations gives you that opening, gives you that chance to do that. If there are people listening out there and they would like to be a part of the Lions Club, they would like to be a member, is there ways to find that out? Is it, you touched on before, needing to be sponsored. If is that still the case?
Oh, they can talk to me. I'm the membership chairman.
All right. Wow, that works out perfectly. You and Dave, that just like we planned it, guys. Just like, but so they would just reach out to you, Dave?
Yes.
Okay. We'll find out how to do that before we wrap up today. We'll get that information out there. Thank you for that. And again, that worked out really good. That's awesome. I have Dave here for that. I want to talk a little bit about the details of the Port Edwards Lion Club fishery coming up January 25th over at NEPCO Lake County Park, one of our favorite lakes, one of our favorite spots here in central Wisconsin. This is going to go from 10 to 3. Guys, how much will tickets be for this or additional tickets for this?
Well, we have... tickets, they're $2 a piece, or $3 for $5, or $7 for $10, or $15 for $20.
Mm-hmm.
And then for every one of those you buy, you get another ticket free to go into the basket for all the door prizes that the local merchants donate to us.
That's first off, that's a really good deal. That's very cool. That is hopefully able to help you guys raise some funds for the great work that you guys are doing, while also making it very affordable for families. We want families, we want kids to be able to attend these events and everything, and you make it very accessible for that. That is cheaper than going to a movie. You can't beat that. And for what you get for that, too, not only, again, knowing that you're putting into your community, because that's what that money's going to do. That's what money does. It helps the community, helps the Lions Club continue to do the work that they're doing. But you're also having a great time, and you're getting your bang for your buck on that. That is a really cool thing to be able to offer to the community, especially in this day and age. So speaking of the big ticket, there's some big ticket prizes that I had to do a double take on. These are great prizes, people. Like, there's good prizes, and it's my job to sell this stuff. You don't need me to sell this. These are some great prizes right here. Can we go over those a little bit for the audience?
Sure.
So I see on here that there's a Traeger to kick things off. You always catch people's eye with the word Traeger.
Yes, a Traeger pellet grill. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You can get that or $700 Ace gift card. Nice. That's the first prize.
Just right out the gate. That's a great prize right away.
It is. Second prize is an Eskimo two-man thermal shelter or a $500 gift card.
Third prize
is a chainsaw or a $200 Ace gift card. Fourth prize is an Otter sled or a $100 gift card. And then the fifth prize is a grill and a $50 Rome Meats gift card. Hmm. And so... They got a chance to win some nice prizes, like you said.
Really nice prizes. Really went all out. Want to thank all the businesses and the people that help with these things and to get these prizes together. And as another note, I think it's really unique and cool to be able to offer people the options in prizes. You know, if somebody wins, I got two chainsaws at home. I don't need a chainsaw. You can get the gift card. Very cool idea. I don't know the last time I saw something like that. I think that's a really unique idea.
Mm-hmm. And then we also have prizes during the day for the fish, for the biggest fish. Mm-hmm. $10 for first prize, or $20, $10 for second, $5 for third. And you get these 8, 10-year-old boy or girl that comes up with a bluegill that's 8 inches long, and she can get $10 for it. You should see the smile on their faces.
Oh, I kid about it. Yeah. Being a fisherman myself a bit, I don't do it nearly as much as I'd like to, but I will tell you, the prizes are nice, and it's great to have those offer people, you know, and it always feels good to win those things. The bragging rights that you get from something like this, oh, that feels good. those bragging rights, man, there's nothing like that.
They're more important than that. No money.
Yeah, and Dave, I feel the same thing. Yes, I feel exactly the same way. There's nothing like that. And this is all competitive fun. You know, it's a good time. It's a great opportunity. I think one of the fun things about fishing and one of the most unique things about it is I've known fishermen, including my papa, my grandpa, who loved fishing and could tell you almost anything you wanted to know about it. And one of the first things you tell me is you can't pick the size. You don't really get to pick the size of the fish. They kind of decide that for you. So that's, I think, a fun part of this competition that, you just don't know who's going to, well, this guy's the best fisherman I know. Doesn't mean he's going to win. Doesn't always mean that. And I'm glad you brought up the part about the kids, too. This is a great event for anybody. All ages can enjoy this. If you're going down there with your buddies or you're going down there with your family, you're going to have a good time. I've done both, and I can speak to both. But one of the things that's important with this event, too, I think, is something that we're seeing a lot. We saw this last winter with our friends up north, and the lack of snow that they got and how hard that was on so many of the industries up there. And I think it was a real reminder to people that whether we're talking about snowmobile driving, ATV, UTV, fishing, hunting, any of these things, we need young blood in these events. We need younger people to pick these up and to keep these alive in our communities, in our areas, not only because they're fun, and they are. They're a blast, and they're a great way to pass the time, great way to hang out with friends and family and stuff, but the economic impact these events and these things have on our communities, on our state, are so vital. again, we saw this last year with the lack of them and how hard that hit our northern friends and everything up there and stuff. So when we're talking about this event and we're encouraging people to take in this event, I can't stress enough, bring the kids, bring younger people to this event. You just don't know what might spark in them and have them be the next Jim or Dave and want to continue to do this, right, whether it's with the Lions Club or just picking up a fishing pole every weekend and getting out there and fishing.
Mm-hmm. And it's nice with that heated shelter. If they get cold, a little chilly or whatever, they can come inside and warm up. It's really nice. We work in shirt sleeves inside the shelter.
I'm glad you mentioned that. There is going to be, and you brought this up before too, Jim, about people coming down, and maybe if you're not interested in the fishing part of it, but you're looking to come and you love the event, you want to support the event and just come on down. There is a warming house. Will there be any crafts or food or anything down
there? Yes, Mike Lassa is a known fella in the area. He'll be there selling his deerskin gloves, and he'll have a coon hat for sale and stuff, and then a young lady's got alpaca. And she will be there selling the mittens and the socks and the scarves and stuff. And I'm not sure if we got anybody else coming this year or not. Hmm. I know that a lot of people ask, is Mike going to be there?
And
So that's good.
That is good. That's good to confirm that. And part of the reason I bring this up is it's a part of the event, and that's really cool. But I also want to tip my hat to you guys with this, too, because there's another opportunity for our vendors, for our ag industry, for people that to make sales that they may not be able to make otherwise. It's another opening for that, which speaks to, again, the work that the Lions Club does in our communities, not only hosting and having these great events, but giving so many of our other businesses and industries an opportunity to do something they might not otherwise. It's so important for that industry. It's a really cool thing to be able to offer. And I tip my hat to you guys for that. Earlier, I was asking about if people are listening and they wanted to become maybe a member of the Lions Club. So, Dave, I was asking you about that. How would they contact you for that information or to find out more?
Well, they could call me at 715-887-4338.
Okay. I see that the Lions Club does have a Facebook page. People reached out that way. Is that another way that they could do it?
Yes. Okay. I guess.
Yeah, because there's information on there.
Yeah, and I believe that number that you gave us is on there as well. So going there will also give you that information again as well. Mm-hmm. Is there any age requirements or anything like that that people should know before jumping into this or looking into this?
No, I don't believe so that we have an age requirement. No.
Okay, good. Good. Yeah, great.
I mean, we're 80 years old. If they want to join, we'll welcome them.
right. <yeah. laughs> We encourage you to do that. And not only that, for the camaraderie, the fun, the energy that these guys have. I'll tell you, I wouldn't have guessed 80s with you guys at all. The energy and the fun that you guys have with these events. But certainly, again, going back to, you know, there's a lot of individuals out there. I feel very comfortable saying almost everybody out there listening is looking for ways to impact their community, to help their community, to make it better, to have more fun in the community, have more events. The Lions Club is going to help you do that. The Lions Club is a great part of that and a great part of our communities. And another note I had a listener ask about too, you know, this is the Port Edwards Lions Club. If they are from a different area, I would encourage you to look and see if your area has a Lions Club. But if not, encourage you to reach out and find out more. Nobody's going to bite your head off here. You know, there's no harm in asking questions.
Yeah, I haven't run across the city in all my travels as you're going in. Everyone's got their sponsorship signs. There's the Lions Club there.
Yeah. And I guarantee you that Lions Club's putting into its community.
Right.
Just exactly. Like our Port Edwards one is. I can't thank you guys enough for the time. Thank you again. This is, before we wrap up, in the last minute we have here, go over the details one more time. Do want to remind everybody to go to Facebook, type into your search bar, Port Edwards Lions Club, like that page and keep up to date on all the great work that they are doing, and you can find out more about being a member or just future events. And you can find out more about the Port Edwards Lions Club Fishery coming up January 25th at NEPCO Lake County Park from 10 to 3. You can get tickets and find out more about prizes and some of the other great things that they have going on with that event. Again, at their Facebook page, just go ahead and type that into your search bar. Jim, Dave, thank you again for the time, what you put into our communities. We appreciate you. Have a great time with the event. I hope to see you down there.
Thank you, and thank you to the radio station for the support we've been getting from you guys over the years, too.
We're going to keep it up throughout the week here, building up to the event. We'll be talking about it on our morning shows and everything. We're going to make sure we got a great turnout for this. Thank you again for the time, guys.
Yep, thank you.
Taking a look at our schedule for next week here on Midday Magazine, be sure to join us from 4 to 5, where on Monday in Part 1, we'll kick it off with our friends from the Historic Point Boss. In Part 2, Leicester Public Library of Rome will join us. On Tuesday at 4 o'clock, Assumption Catholic School's Dan Minter will be here. And in Part 2, we'll talk with our United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties. Wednesday, Wood County Board Chairman Lance Plimmel will be with us, along with Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. And at 4:30 on Wednesday, we'll talk to the ODC. Thursday, the friends, family, really, from Family Natural Foods will be with us in Part 1. In Part 2, UW-Madison Extension's Laura Huber will be with us, and we'll talk some 4-H. And we'll wrap up the week on Friday in Midday Magazine at 4 o'clock, talking to the ADRC's Peggy Kurth. And in Part 2, Wisconsin Rapids Public Schools Superintendent Ron Rasmussen will be joining us. All of that and then some coming up next week on Midday Magazine. Once again, a big shout-out to our scheduler, the heart of WFHR, Pam Hilke, and the great work she does. A thank you to all of our guests this week, and to all of you for listening. We'll have more in store for you coming up next week, right here on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Pete Hegseth, confirmation hearing.
I've never disparaged women serving in the military.
Except for, you know, the podcast interview in like late November of 2024 when he said women in combat weaken the military. Except for that, Pete, did you get body snatched? Are you not the same guy that sat down in the Brosphere podcast?
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Hey folks, Jimmy K here from Max Inc. Radio. Join me this weekend as I welcome Isaiah and the new people. Plus, Terry chats with jazz musician Janet Plant. It's Max Inc. Saturday and Sunday, 6 to midnight across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Mike Siegel. Hey, Mike.
When I look back on all those years on the road and going on two-lane highways in northern Wisconsin, in the dead of winter, could have been like 10 below outside. One deer jumps out in front of me. I was like, I'm done here.
You're in a ditch and they're not going to find you for 3 days. Dead deer carcass over there and a dead comedian carcass.
Holding his date book.
Somebody might want to call and cancel him at Zany's next week in Chicago.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Matt and Air on Air.
Robotaxis made by Zooks are slated to hit the streets of California later on this year. Rides will initially be free for people who agree to test it out. You go first. Wait,
have you ever wanted to drive in a four-person casket with no driver?
My biggest sticking point about this is the name. Zooks is a cartoon character.
Yeah. Do you think when he's driving, he's going bumba da bumba da bumba da bumba da
bumba?
Matt and Air on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The Todd Alba Show.
What's worse, fast drivers or slow drivers? Karina listening on WAUK in Milwaukee.
Slow drivers are the worst. They think too slow. They stop in the middle of the highway to think about where they're going. Maybe they need to turn left and right. They're changing lines for, oh my God, I can do all day long.
Karina,
yes,
can you
yes.
tell us what you really think?
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free. Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
CBS News Brief. The TikTok ban is set to take effect Sunday. Today, the Supreme Court upheld the law banning the app. CBS's Catherine Cole says the Biden administration is stepping back.
They're not enforcing this on Sunday and that it's going to fall to the Trump administration. So possibly nothing changes, but if the tech companies decide it's not worth it, then perhaps you see an error message.
Israel's cabinet has been meeting for more than 6 hours into this Friday night, Shabbat, before voting on the ceasefire deal with Hamas. Jillian Kay's stepchild is one of the hostages.
It's politics and smoke and mirrors, and it's unbelievably painful and unfair.
California Insurance Commissioner Ricardo Lara is vowing to crack down on insurance fraud as wildfire victims try to bounce back.
We need to act quickly and give consumers the protections that they need as they're starting to make these really tough financial decisions.
CBS News Brief. I'm Michael Wallace.
Join us live every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 5 to 6 p.m. for Playmaker.